As we discuss these things, this is just open for you. Ray, I'm going to call on him first because he said he doesn't need the sheet. He's already got his together. So if you can help me out with just doing some talking here and sharing with us these things, then that would be great. Ray, what's your favorite Bible story and why?
Also shows that God is still working, even though his name is. I love that story about Ruth and his cousin.
Esther's cousin.
I can't think of the thing you said concerning what time is this? I want to say concerning what she had. She decided that she was going to go to the king, and I'm so thankful that he was very. That she was very adamant about it, and you know, the story is, you know, you couldn't go to the king that he put this stuff out and said that if I to come to him, but she was determined to go to him because of the things that were going on, and that her people were involved. And she never let him know that she was Jew. And that was good. It wasn't good for Haman. But that's one of the reasons. Now, you can use either one of these stories to let you know that God is the one who is still working here in these stories. They are beautiful stories. They're great spirits, and I just love them both. I love these women. They're strong, and another thing, if you want to talk about God, when it comes to Ruth and Boaz, when they got together, when they were Obed was their son. He was the grandfather of David. And as we also know that David, being the king, isn't it wonderful that God can use a Moabite woman for his purpose in getting the lineage to Jesus Christ. So that's a good thing. So can probably go on and on. I want somebody else to talk to. Those are my babies. Thank you.
All right. Who else? What's your favorite Bible story and why? Wes?
I like the one of Abram and Lot, separating to keep the peace. To me, that says a whole lot. It wasn't actually those two, Abram and Lot, that had the problem. It was actually their servants that had the problem. But because of Abram seeing it, it was going to be a problem, maybe possibly with him. He was willing to let Lot pick whatever he did with the best. And, you know, he would go along with it. Of course, Lot had to agree with it in order for everything to come out the way it was written in the book. As opposed to the question, what does this story tell you about God? To me, it tells you that He wants us to live in peace and harmony, if we can, with each other. You know, it should be a solution somewhere if we try hard enough to find it. But in most cases, two people have differences because one is not willing to go to the extent to try to solve the problem, and we figure either it's better to hold a grudge and live that way, or become physical, which neither one solves the problem.
Okay.
You know, do I have to use this length on the God? Hopefully I can do this by the way in which I live, and being willing to go to extra miles and find a solution, to give up, whatever it would take, just to keep the peace. A lot of times I find myself saying that at home a lot, and I say it sort of jokingly, that I do everything, like my wife and I do something. Of course, because she's not here, I still say the same thing to her.
Sure, Wes.
But I tell her I be trying to keep the peace all the time, okay. It's a matter of, things work out a whole lot better, because being with other people, the whole conflict, the whole grudge just continues the conflict. And it gets to the point where when you come in contact with the other person, it really disrupts the day. It'll cause your blood pressure to go up. It'll cause you to really get heated, physically heated. Your temperature will rise, and a whole bunch of stuff that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
I know from experience that you just can't seem to function things like that. So it's better in the long run to try to find a solution. And if it takes separating, going the other way, sometimes it is the best solution, some people look at it as being the power to get out, but God oversees everything, so he can control it. If that's what it takes, he can see. That's the best thing.
It can certainly open up doors with people.
Mm-hmm.
And as you were talking, I was thinking about the struggles that you had at your previous job that you had. And I know that from the times that you and I have talked that, the efforts that you made at trying to make peace with some of the folks that you worked with and the struggles that you had there. Even though perhaps as of this point, maybe none of that really sank in, but it certainly gave them the opportunity to see Christ in you. And to teach them something. Yeah, I think so. And so,
well, they worked as well for me, because I don't think I would have stayed on that job as long as I did, if I hadn't tried to work it out that way. Hopefully they did see, but if not then, maybe sometimes.
Yeah, you never know.
Realize that, that was a good thing.
Oh, good. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that with us. Okay, who's next? Go ahead, Cheryl. You look like you're about to bust over there.
You mentioned Locke, and Locke, that's okay. One of my favorites as well. Especially when he said, you know, his wife wanted to be back with the wife that he was before.
Right.
And he told her not to because she turned to a pillar of salt and whatever. And just, to me, things that have happened to me in my past,
okay.
I don't want to dwell on that. I want it to enrich me so that I won't make the same mistakes again, but I don't want to dwell on it to the point that I'm going to be able to
go. Okay, all right. What does that story tell you about God?
Well, are you looking back in the past and the future? That's much brighter. And you went through whatever you went through, is that something you have learned? And hopefully, you learn what you have learned so that you can move on.
Okay.
And use what you've learned.
And that's certainly a good message that you can share with people to help them learn about the Lord and the importance of, you know, don't look back. You know, just move forward. You know, when you think about the Israelites as a nation when they came out of Egypt, that was one of the problems that they had over and over again, wasn't it? They were always looking back. You know, we were better off back in Egypt. And I think that's a central theme in the Bible from God, you know, this whole idea of not longing for where you were before you came to God and before God rescued you. And so that's an important thing.
Great.
Rick?
Hour.
sure that he knew where the stuff came from. And then, of course, there was the problem there. Because a lot of times, you don't know what to do. You may not get an answer right then, but there's the weight on you. You learn humility. You learn patience. Which I don't always have when I want it, but I know that, you know, God helps me and all the support. So that's it.
How can you use that story to tell others about crying?
The first thing is to tell someone you have to recognize where everything you have comes from. You know, God is not just a clear thing, but just the things that go on in your heart. You have to recognize that you give that strength and that power and when you feel your weakest spot, that strength comes in there and you capture it.
One of the things about the story of David, and there's a lot of little stories in there, aren't there? You know, there's sub stories, so to speak, in the overall story of David. But the overall story to me is a really interesting thing that you go back and you look at. When did God choose David to be the next king? You know. It was when he was just a young man and he wasn't ready to be king at that point. But then you look at all of those different other stories and the events that took place in David's life, and what were they for? They were to prepare David to get him ready to be the king that God had planned for him to be. Had he not had all of those ups and downs and all those different experiences, I don't think that David would have been the king that God intended for him to be. And so that's one of my favorite stories in the Bible too.
I also like the fact that when he was there, he had the opportunity to hear a call. And he knew it was nothing but the call of God, and it was accepted from God. And you know, I looked at something and I thought, this is David, I should have done that. No.
Yeah.
And God kept my tongue.
And you see what happens when someone yields to God's will rather than to their own. An awesome story.
Yeah.
Who's next? You?
I like two stories that I really like. And one of them is Moses when he goes up in the mountain to talk to God.
Okay.
And he asks God to let him shoot him. And God was willing to do as much as he could and said, you can't look at me, but I will show you my best part. And that to me shows how willing God is to have this close relationship with his children.
Okay.
Moses' way of how he was able to communicate with God all the time blows my mind. Just to think about it, to stand in the presence of God. And I think this is a good thing to share with other people because, like I said before, it shows really how God wants to have this intimate relationship with his people. And then my other one is Peter. I can identify with Peter so well. Quick to speak and slow to think, okay? That's me. And so, but the relationship he had with Christ is just amazing. And it shows that no matter what type of a person you are, what your background is, or where you came from, or what you've ever done or have not done, is irrelevant once you choose to be God. And he can make so much out of you. Look at what he did with Peter, you know, and where Peter ended up and what he did for Christ. And I think those are things that you can share with the people because we all have been there. And so I think, to me, those are two good stories to share.
Who's next?
all the key in what Jesus did, said his ministry and trusted me. And I think we too often look at those, that was a miracle, and that's great that that was done, and that man withered hand was healed, and he was able to see what was visible. Well, we hardly can empathize with that because we haven't gone through that. We haven't been blind since birth. We haven't had a withered hand. We've been crippled since birth. And what that must have meant to those people to have the healing come to them. But the one that most impressed me most was when he was healed, the man with leprosy. That man had all of his facilities. He could see, he could feel, he could understand. He didn't have anybody to touch him. No one would get near him because they were afraid of him and his leprosy. And to have Jesus touch him. All the faculties of being a human being belongs to be to have a relationship where you can touch people, hug them, hold them, or just shake them with them, whatever. And Jesus did that for me. And what I think that is a good lesson for anybody that we want to reach out to, we are no one touch that you can. Regardless of where we see him, whether he's in ditch, haunt, whether that tattoo is all over him, whether he had on drugs, beyond him touching him. And that we got to touch him and feel him. That's what we're going to do. So we've got to be praying.
Who's next? Favorite Bible story and why? Got a lot to choose from. Okay, why? That statement, but even if he doesn't, that's an awesome statement, you know. And you know, just to think, to have that kind of faith, to say this is what God can do, but even if he doesn't, I'm still going to do what God wants me to. So how can that statement help you to lead others to Christ? Or that, not the statement, but that story, how can it help you to bring others to Christ?
That he is going to take care of. In other words, in the things that we
lot of people struggle, you know, with faith and just the whole idea of living for God, because oftentimes something in their life has happened and they need some kind of relief from whatever is troubling them in their life, and they feel like they prayed and prayed and prayed and God didn't answer their prayer, and so they're angry at God, or they're disappointed, or whatever, and why should I believe in a God who won't, you know, do this and wouldn't answer my prayers and so forth. I mean, that's a big issue for a lot of people, and so that's a great story to be able to help people to see that, you know, to have that kind of faith that yeah, certainly God can do it, but even if he doesn't, you know, we still need to hold firm to him. It's a great, great story. Okay, who's next? We still got a few more minutes, about 7 more minutes, so there's plenty of time.
You haven't found my heifer, you would know that. Yeah. And he did the same thing with Delilah. You know, the Charlie, I think a lot of the, when I see that, I think sometimes some of the political scandals we've had where all it took was the female getting this information out of this guy or whatever.
Right.
And to me, it just shows that no matter, this is, once again, this is like David. This is a man who was chosen by God to do what he did, and he still has some major failings. And so sometimes I think we get down on ourselves and some of the things that we do, and these guys are bad things. And yet there was supposed to be redemption there. And even with Samson, because at the very end he was going to give his life to be able to do what happened to him. And he did it at that point. But his family came down and got him. And I think about his parents, because when he came in there and said, I want to marry this woman over here, and I said, what? You want to marry this heathen woman, basically? But it was part of God's plan, so they went along with it. So, you know, his family must have had a lot of heartache in there, too. Sometimes people do things. So your parents must be real proud of you right now. So, and I'm sure that his father grieved a lot of his life and what he had done. And then at the very end, they came down and put his body in there. So, you know, I'm not sure how you can take that
who else has a favorite story you want to share with us?
I
My favorite story, and you've heard me talk about it a lot of times, is the story in John chapter 8 of the woman caught in adultery. And it's just because, as I've said many, many times, I really look at that story as being the core of what the gospel of Jesus is all about. Here's a woman who undeniably is in sin. She's lost. And she's brought to Jesus by those who would accuse her. They're using her is what they're doing. And Jesus, because of the love that he has for his creation, takes that woman out of that situation and lifts her up and says, the bottom line is, look, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to save you. Now let's talk about how your life can be different, needs to be different. That's really what the message is in. When you think about it, that's the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus did not come here to condemn us. And we've looked at all these different stories that you've mentioned, different people like Samson and David and others that did all kinds of bad things, and yet God still, listed amongst the who's who of the faithful. Why? Because we're God's creation. And God didn't come here to condemn us. He came here to save us. That's what it's all about. And to me, that story, that's what that story is about, is the message of Jesus coming to save us. Because all of us, every single one of us, deserve to be stoned to death. We're all sinners. Just like that woman. Doesn't matter what the sin is. But Jesus' message is the same to every single one of us. I didn't come here to condemn you. I came here to save you. But now you need to change your life. That last statement, go and sin no more, is a vital part of that story. You've got to change your life. And that's what it's about.
Well, my children, one of the things, we had to come to the well when everybody else was there, but they didn't have anything to do with her. How is she going to learn otherwise?
Yep. Bible is full of just some amazing, amazing stories. And they're more than stories, though. And you really start to think about them. And I think oftentimes we learn the facts of the stories. But if we look a little bit deeper into those stories, there's so much more there that we can use not only to help ourselves to learn something that God wants us to learn, but then also to take that and help someone else to get to know Christ or to strengthen their faith or whatever the thing be. The reason that those stories are there is because God gave them to us so that we could use them to tell others about Jesus. And there's just, so many stories to be able to do that with. And so I challenge you to keep looking, keep studying, read those stories over and over again, and keep learning from them. Thank you all very much for teaching this Bible class this morning. I hope that I'm going to do my best to make it through the lesson this morning, the worship time, and this has certainly helped me a lot. Next week we'll plan to pick up where we left off in our study that we were doing and getting to know Jesus through the Old Testament. All right. So thank you all very much.